Our scripture passage this morning comes from Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. And in it, it states, "Then Moses answered, 'But look, they may not believe me or listen to me, but say, "The Lord did not appear to you." The Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" He said, "A staff." And he said, "Throw it on the ground." So he threw it on the ground, and it became a snake. And Moses drew back from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Reach out your hand and seize it by the tail." So he reached out his hand and grasped it, and it became a staff in his hand, so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? Oh Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I'm going to be preaching this morning on the theme "From Shepherd's Staff to Kingdom Keys." From Shepherd's Staff to Kingdom Keys. Do you remember the excitement and anticipation of receiving your very first set of keys? It's a moment that many of us may cherish and never forget. Whether it's the keys to your first car, the keys to your first apartment, or maybe even the keys to your childhood home. Regardless of what the keys were, they often signified a step toward independence and responsibility. The first set of keys I ever received came with passing my driving test. And I will never forget being handed the keys to my grandfather's old Chevrolet S10. If you don't know what that is, look it up. It's cute. Jump seat in the back and all, where I used to cram my siblings so that I wouldn't be caught having the coolness factor when I was asked to take them to school. But as I held those keys in my hand, I suddenly had this sense of freedom. I could go wherever I wanted, whenever I wanted, however I wanted. Okay, no, I didn't. My parents didn't really like so much me going wherever I wanted and doing whatever I wanted at 16. But the sense of expectation and the sense of freedom that I felt was empowering for me. And those keys represented more than just a mode of transportation. They represented trust, accountability, responsibility. Each set of keys I would go on to receive, whether the dorm keys I was handed my freshman year at Butler University, or the keys to my first apartment, or the keys to every job that I've held so far. Every set of keys I've been given signifies new chapters in my life and responsibility. In the book Growing Young that we have been doing our sermon series on and a corresponding book study with, we are introduced to the concept of something called keychain leadership. Keychain leadership challenges conventional leadership paradigms and offers us a refreshing perspective, perhaps, about what it means to nurture leadership potential in individuals and churches alike. It's based on both a physical and a metaphorical premise that we all carry within us keychain with various keys that hold our God-given gifts, talents, and potential. Leadership is a lifelong journey. And traditional leadership models often focus on a fixed set of skills, but keychain leadership encourages continuous learning and opportunities as we seek these experiences to unlock our potential. And keychain leadership encourages mentorship, it encourages collaboration as essential tools for our development. So by working together and sharing our experiences, we have so much to learn from one another. In the scripture that you just heard from the Exodus passage, Moses poses a question to God. What if they don't believe me? What if they don't listen to me? At this point, he was only holding a shepherd's staff in his hand, a symbol of his humble and ordinary life in the wilderness experience. But this staff signifies Moses' past, a life that's marked by simplicity, obscurity, perhaps a sense of inadequacy. But in response, Moses asks, or God asks of Moses, "What is that in your hand? What is that in your hand?" This seemingly simple question goes far beyond that of what is being asked and goes deeper to help Moses and all of us discover what it is that we have been given and how we have been called to serve. So a portion of Moses' story is revealed and tells of the time when Moses discovered his God-given gifts. Earlier in the Exodus story, you know, between the basket and his death, God appeared to Moses in a burning bush. Moses listened to the word of God, and what did he do? He proceeded to argue with God as if that was going to get him anywhere. But Moses didn't believe that he was capable of what God was calling him to do. And he said, surely there's somebody else that can do it. Surely it's not just me. Like, find somebody else. He didn't feel like he could eloquently speak or lead people in the way that God had intended. But like Moses, sometimes I think that we are called to do something that's not in our comfort zones. We're called to do something that might not make sense to us at the time. But Moses was asked the question that I think God is asking of each of us today. What is that in your hand? For Moses, it was a shepherd's staff, a walking stick, a weapon, a guide for his sheep. But God saw more than an ordinary man with an ordinary staff. He saw someone who was willing to fulfill the plan for God's people. And Moses was instructed to throw that staff down. And as soon as he did it, it turned into a snake. Now, showing what I believe to be pretty decent judgment at that point, Moses turned around and ran away from it. But as if that weren't enough, God proceeded to tell Moses to pick it up by its tail. Now, if you know anything about snakes, you don't pick it up by the tail unless you want to get bit. However, Moses obeyed. And when he picked the snake up by the tail, it turned back into his staff. That same staff that would go on to draw water from the rock, win the war, part the Red Seas. God reminded Moses that despite his perceived shortcomings, there's still work to be done. And God's telling Moses, I choose you. I'm giving you the keys. You have what it takes. Go for it. So often what can hinder or drive our attention are our insufficiencies and maybe our own feelings of inadequacy or maybe the thought that maybe we're not quite good enough. But God sees the worth in Moses as a necessary contributor to the kingdom of God. I think maybe many of us might have related to some point of Moses' story at some point in time of our lives or another. I know I certainly have. Moses tried to go against what he was called to do by blaming his difficulty of speech. While I may not have had a stutter like Moses, my biggest fear for the longest time was public speaking. Yet I was called to pastoral ministry. I spent a lot of my time trying to convince God and ignore my call that I would be better doing something else, anything else. However, sometimes God calls us to take a step out in faith. And it can be intimidating. But just as God reassured Moses, teaching him to face his fears, God reassures us that when we place our trust in God and face our fears, we can discover the strength and courage that we need. But thankfully, God's power is not limited by our own doubts or insecurities. While Moses would hold the keys to the Israelites' liberation journey to the Promised Land, in our lives, God calls us to wield kingdom keys as well. These keys represent authority and responsibility that we have been entrusted with to advance the kingdom of God. And when we entrust leadership opportunities to others, perhaps younger people even, we are handing them a sense of belonging, handing them a sense of contribution to the kingdom of God in our midst. Similarly, in the midst of brokenness and failure, God invites Moses to transform his shepherd's staff, to take the keys of leadership, and to continue the work. I know that my life has been transformed and my call has been shaped for the better because there were leaders in my church that shared their keys, that entrusted me with ministry potential, that entrusted me with opportunities to lead even in the times when I didn't always get it right. This raises good questions for us about who gets to lead. Who should be invited? Is it only experienced leaders, flawless leaders, leaders who have already proven themselves to stand the test of time? Or maybe, just maybe, responsibility is part of the way that grace works itself out through the life of the church. Moses had that ordinary staff for many years before he realized the power that he possessed within it. We shouldn't ignore the keys that we've been given. Even if they present themselves as ordinary, God can use ordinary things and turn them into extraordinary events. But the real question is, are we willing to let God work in our lives by using the kingdom keys that are in our very hands? Keys that maybe we've had all along. So let's not shut ourselves out to the possibility that God might be calling us to do something that we think is far-fetched. God might be calling us to do something that we think is impossible. But when we use our God-given gifts and do the things that we're passionate about, we can be energized by that and energize others along the way. Oftentimes, figuring out how to live our passion through obstacles, challenges, adversities in life can be difficult, but the outcome is so much more rewarding. Few things are ever accomplished or sustained in our lives without passion. Passion and purpose, or sometimes passion or purpose, are what give us all a reason to wake up in the morning. Without it, life can become boring, monotonous, a little too routine. But my challenge for us is to find a way to take the keys that we have been entrusted with and to live into whatever our passions may be. What are some of the gifts and the things that we've been passionate about? How can we use those gifts to make a difference in the life of one another? The priorities that we hold and the way that we live our lives are the example that we have set for everyone around us to see. Those things show firsthand how we are using the keys that we have been given. And each of our keys holds a different shape and unlocks different doors of possibilities throughout this world. I think all too often we underestimate just how much a smile, a kind word, or a simple act of caring has the influence to impact somebody else's life in a really meaningful way. Making a difference is intentionally recognizing and responding to the fact that the little things in life can matter too. Every person that you meet will either be lifted up or brought down by what you do or what you say. The little things can have a big impact. New research from the Fuller Youth Institute has shown that people ages 15 to 29 are looking for a role to play right now in the life of the church. And these folks want to learn it alongside others who can help show them the way. Those leaders are taking off keys off their keychains, handing them over, maybe making copies of the keys as well, and showing them what it means to take the keys of responsibility, authority, influence, and access. So take a moment to reflect on your own personal experiences. Of what it was like when someone believed in you and provided you with a chance to contribute, especially within the context of the church. Can you think of the person who has played this role in your life? Our scripture encourages us to recognize the talents and abilities of not only ourselves, but others in our midst. And empowering people to take on leadership roles benefits everyone involved. It is advantageous for those who participate, the church community, and the future of the church as a whole. The uplifting message in this text is that each and every one of us has a role to play. We have the opportunity to invite others to join us in the work of the kingdom of God. And sometimes, someone might just be waiting for a simple invitation. And your very request could have a profound impact in that moment. What if we started to explore each aspect of our church to identify where leadership opportunities may already exist and where we might make additional efforts. Consider how this applies to our own congregation. Perhaps we might start looking within the various committees and ministries of our church. Are representatives from every generation actively participating? If not, who might we invite to the table? If our church, or any church for that matter, is to thrive in the future, we must find ways to relate to a multitude of generations and find a new way to share our leadership responsibilities. I think it's important to recognize that our ability to fulfill our calling is intimately connected to understanding and embracing God's trust, God's love, and God's grace. These are incredible things. And it's easy to think that in some ways we have to earn it, as if there is any physical thing that we could do to earn God's love, God's trust, or God's grace. We often spend our lives showing people what good people we are, how we've done all the right things, what achievers we are, how much we've accomplished, and how much we deserve it. We want to pay our own way, but the price has already been paid. We are loved by a grace-filled, persistent God who knows what is best for us. And when we believe and let God lead in our lives instead of trying to do it on our own or force our own way on anything, it's then, just then, that we are able to truly live out our full potential and do all that God is calling us to do. So as we contemplate this idea of keychain leadership within our own church community, I think it's worth delving into a little bit. Being a keychain leader involves recognizing that each individual possesses unique gifts and talents akin to different keys, which can unlock opportunities for growth and progress within the life of the church. And just like a keychain carries an assortment of keys, a keychain leader understands the importance of recognizing and empowering one another, inviting others to participate in the shared journey towards a thriving and faithful community. In the book Growing Young, it states that a keychain leader is mature, not necessarily young, but a keychain leader is real, doesn't fake relevancy. Keychain leaders are warm, not distant. Keychain leaders entrust and empower others. They don't try to take it all on themselves. And keychain leaders take the long view, not just short-sighted steps. My friends, the transition from a shepherd's staff to kingdom keys all comes down to God's calling on our lives and what it is that we choose to do with what we have been given. Will we continue to run from it? Succumb to fear, play into our own insecurities? Or will we recognize what we've had all along and choose to walk or run toward the calling and equip others to do the same? Whether we remember the thrill of our first set of keys or have yet to receive them, let it be a reminder that God has given each of us something unique. God has given all of us keys to unlock the potential for good in our lives and the lives of one another. And with these keys, we have the power to transform the church, and we have the power to transform the world, if only we choose to embrace the responsibility and the trust that goes along with it.